Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to the program. The theme today is going to be competition and cooperation. And I'll be reading a program that was prepared by our Wellington group for their local community radio station. In the July/August 2005 double issue of Share International magazine, Benjamin Krem's master points out in his article that greed and competition are the main cause of our problems and that sharing and cooperation are the answer. His article is titled The End of Darkness and it begins as follows. Nowhere is division and disharmony more prevalent than on planet Earth. No other planet of our system is so immersed in competition, so ignorant of the benefits of cooperation. Nowhere else is seen the results of such folly. Anxiety, illness of all kinds, wealth and poverty side by side, insecurity and war. Why should this be so? Why should the inhabitants of this most richly fertile road quarrel so over its ownership? To some extent, the answer lies in the very richness of Earth's resources. Earth is the most densely material of worlds, and for long ages, men have been enthralled to its material wealth and have fought and competed for its control. This has brought the human kingdom and with it the animal to the verge of destruction. With the nuclear bomb, man has brought his very existence into jeopardy. It is this fact above all which has prompted Maitreya's decision to return with his group to the everyday world at least 1,000 years ahead of the planned date. His aim is to coax men back from the brink, to show them how dangerous and destructive is their lust for power, their greed and competition. He will outline for them a simpler way, the way of cooperation, justice and trust. Many there are today who, in their hearts, renounce the iniquities of the present materialism which pervades the planet. They long for justice and peace and march and demonstrate for their fulfillment. More and more, the peoples of the world are beginning to recognize that together they have the power to change the actions of powerful men. Thus does Maitreya trust the people and gives force voice to their demands. Thus does he join their marches and adds his voice to theirs. Amid the general avarice there is too an awakening of conscience among politicians and others in several countries. The debts of the poorest nations are being cancelled, and a new approach to the grinding poverty of so many is taking place. The fruits of 20 years of labour are beginning to ripen. Maitreya's beneficent energies are working their magic, and a new spirit is gaining strength. Thus, the attitudes and habits of countless ages are beginning to crumble, before the tide of new and unstoppable energies wielded by Maitreya and his group. Men need have no fear. The meek, indeed, the poor, the powerless, the toilers everywhere shall inherit the earth. Men will learn the beauty of cooperation and service, and one by one the bastions of power will fall. The empires of power and wealth will disappear as the new urge for sharing and oneness grips the minds of men. Thus will it be, and thus will men regain his sanity and start the climb again. So that was the Master's article given through Benjamin Krem and initially published in the magazine in 2005. So from his book, Mr. Krem's book, The Art of Cooperation, I'm going to quote some excerpts, and it begins as follows. The world is divided into two groups. Those who are holding on to the old greedy and selfish nationalistic systems and who thus represent the reactionary forces of the world, and those who are opening to the new incoming energies of Aquarius and who are looking for a way of brotherhood and cooperation, a realization of the interdependence that results from the fact that we are one humanity. As the one humanity, we are working out our mutual destiny and evolving to give expression, with our different nationalities and talents, to the extraordinary variety of divine life, but in the form of unity. This is obviously a major problem for humanity. The world is so divided. Competition is so rife today. It is the very nature of our political and economic systems, based as they are on market forces, commercialization, aggrandizement, and power. If we would survive, it must be changed. How can we overturn the tremendous power of competition, which underlies all aspects of our life today, and entrench in its place not only the idea, but the action of cooperation? Competition, I believe, is based on fear. If we look back at our history, we can think of competition as it relates to the animal kingdom. It is natural for animals to compete for food and in the struggle for survival. But we are not just animals. Although we owe our bodies and certain of our instincts to the animal kingdom, we are souls in incarnation. As souls, something other than competition comes into play in the relationships between men and men, between groups, between nations. We are not always competing, but when we do, we always end up destroying ourselves. War is competition writ large, and is something which humanity has turned to again and again for different reasons. With the advent of agrarian civilizations, the necessity for competition diminished. Competition in terms of warfare still took place very often, but the very fact of turning to settled agrarian culture led man away from the necessity of chasing each other or animals for the pot. A different aspect evolved, cooperation. Tribes grew in size, little market towns grew up, trading took place. That depends on cooperation. You cannot build a town or a trading station without cooperation. It needs the sense of oneself as part of a group, a community, brothers and sisters sharing the resources of a particular place, and enjoying, therefore, the fruits of this cooperative interaction. We have arrived at a point today where, in practical, material terms, the world is probably richer than it has ever been. There are more products per capita in the world than at any time in human history. Never has there been felt the need for so many things. Never have there been so many storehouses bulging full with products. We have reached a point of massive overproduction, which takes cooperation to produce, but has led to a sustained attack on each other in the competition to sell each other these goods. We have reached a kind of impasse in trade. Where is the way from here? One way is to go back to an agrarian culture, where everyone makes their own things and trades for what each other needs. That would be sensible, except that the world today is so large, there are so many people. Of course, it would be foolish to try to go back. We have to go in a different direction. We have to become not competitive, but cooperative. Otherwise, we shall not go forward in any direction at all. The desire principle is very powerful and instinctively expresses itself through competition. It could cooperate, but grasping, fighting for what it feels it needs, certainly for what it wants, it competes, kills if necessary, hurts, destroys. That is the story of humanity's life until it reaches the stage at which the soul, the divine aspect whose nature is goodwill, demonstrates. As Benjamin Krem's master says, cooperation is the demonstration of divine goodwill. It is the soul which demonstrates goodwill, which makes us want to cooperate. It is very difficult for human beings and physical bodies with personalities that are mainly governed by their emotional nature to see clearly, to understand, except perhaps intellectually, the nature of the soul. The soul sees the broad view. It has no sense of itself as separate in any way. The soul has total, absolute goodwill. It knows only divine intelligence, divine love, and divine purpose or will. Goodwill is an aspect of love, the purpose of God, and the love of God together, and is essential love. The soul tries to inculcate this in its vehicle, which inevitably leads to cooperation. When you cooperate, you express the quality of goodwill. It is difficult to cooperate if you are working under the desire principle and wanting what your intelligence tells you is needed. The brain intelligence is often at variance with the insight and intuition coming from the soul, which always leads to goodwill, to the expression of right relationship. The soul only knows right relationship. That is what it wants to produce on the physical plane. This, of course, is difficult since for long ages, and especially now through our modern political and economic systems, we have created a world whose essential nature is competition. If we do not give up competition, we will destroy the world. Humanity has to understand that we are interdependent, brothers and sisters of one humanity. Also, that humanity is a force in the world which has to obey certain rules. These rules are inborn in us from the soul level. When we express ourselves on the soul level, we obey the rules. The rules are that we cooperate. Politically and economically, there is no nation in the world, not even the biggest, America, which can stand alone. There is not yet sufficient goodwill and trust between the nations, and so the competitive spirit in line with market forces, the commercialization of all life which is part of market forces, dominates. The spiritual crisis of humanity, in other words, not knowing the meaning and purpose of our lives, is focused today through the political and especially the economics field, and can only be resolved there. That means that the soul aspect, the spiritual aspect, has to be given expression. We have to see what we are doing and change it. Humanity has to change or die. This is what my master spells out so clearly. Cooperation is another word for unity. Unity and cooperation are the springboards to the future and the guarantee of achievement for all men. Great reservoirs of power lie untapped within humanity, waiting for the magic of cooperation to unleash. So that last bit was a quote from Benjamin Krem's master. And continuing on with Benjamin Krem's comments from the book Unity in Diversity, it is a question of rationalization. Every nation will be asked to make over in trust for the world what they have in excess of their needs, and from that common pool, the needs of all will be met. The process of redistribution and therefore the rationalization of our economic structures will itself rationalize the overproduction processes. The redistribution of resources is the problem which is at the heart of the economic and indeed the spiritual crisis overhanging the world today. This spiritual crisis is focused in the political and economic theatre. That is why Maitreya comes in the first place as a political and economic teacher. Although his teaching is non-religious, it is about the spiritual life, about right human relationships. When we share the world's resources, we take the first step into solving the ills of the world and the first step into our divinity. The food, raw materials, energy, scientific knowledge, and educational facilities of the world belong to everyone. If we accept the principle of sharing, accept that we are one, redistribute the world's resources and so create justice in the world, we will have peace. It is the only way in which we will have a secure and lasting peace. Sharing the world's resources will restore sanity to the world. It will make life happier for most people. There is no reason why people should think they will suffer from the principle of sharing. On the contrary, most people will live better, happier lives. Our maturity is evidenced by our beginning to take responsibility for our planet on a global scale, albeit in a very tentative, barely discernible way. We are beginning to realize what we are doing to our environment, that we are gradually killing off the planet as a living, breathing, evolving body of expression of a great cosmic being, which of course the planet is. We are beginning to see that we cannot go on willy-nilly despoiling the planet, polluting the air, rivers and oceans. We know this. More and more concerned groups have brought this to the attention of governments. At long last, governments, or their representatives, meet on a more or less regular basis to analyse the problems and to see what can be done about them. That is a new maturity. It is to do with a growing sense by humanity that it is one. The maturity lies in the recognition of our oneness, brothers and sisters of one humanity on this planet to carry out some plan, some role, which is as yet dimly felt by most people. It is a sign that we are recognizing our vulnerability and our oneness. We are maturing. Thank you very much for listening, and look forward to hopefully you listening again next week. Have a lovely week.